Hi, this is Buzz Knight, the host of the Take on a Walk podcast series. Today, in New York City, Astor Place is the area I'm in, and I'm here to take a walk with composer Robert Toteras, whose new film, The Walk, has recently been released. Now, with the benefit of my podcast hosting platform, Podbean, we're going to walk with Robert virtually. He'll be in L.A., I'll be here in Astor Place. Sometimes you just can't be together, but you want to make it happen. So this is our first attempt using this technology. So let's take a walk with Robert Toteras.
Taking a walk with Buzz Knight.
I'm in New York City right now, at the Astor Place area of New York, kind of near the West Village. And I'm really pleased right now to be talking to Robert Toteras, who is a composer of the new movie called The Walk, starring a great ensemble cast, including Terrence Howard and Justin Chatwin. Robert, are you there right now?
I am here.
And where are you physically maybe taking a walk?
I am physically in my yard right now.
Describe the scene. I want to hear the scene in your Robert's yard.
Okay. So right now, I have a house in L.A., and I have a fairly decent-sized yard. My dog loves it. Across the yard is my studio. And so I can step out the doors of my studio and just be in the yard and chill out in the chair, and my girls are playing volleyball at the volleyball net, and not right now, but they usually are. And there's a bunch of frisbees that my dog chews up, even when we're not throwing them to her. And a nice big porch where we can all sit and have dinner or have coffee in the morning, which is how I start every day with the dog running in the yard, chasing squirrels, and me having a cup of coffee.
I love it. I love it. So
it's a morning ritual.
It sounds like a good life.
it's not bad. It's not. It's definitely not bad. Although I have to say, I used to live in New York, so I miss that walk quite a bit.
So the scene here, yeah, I'm like I said, Astor Place, there's a bunch of folks just sort of hanging around that area there. I don't know if you know that area.
Oh yeah.
Yep. And there's a number of pigeons here as well. I know that's shocking to you.
Yes, I remember them well.
Yeah. But you're the first person who took a walk here with some new technology, so I appreciate you taking the leap. Normally, I like doing it in person.
Right.
When I heard about The Walk and the fact that I've got something called Taking a Walk, it was too perfect of an opportunity to pass up. But also, I mean, I've had some musicians on the Taking a Walk podcast, but I've never had a composer. So I'm honored for you to be the first composer on Taking a Walk. So, you know, we're giving it a stab. To some degree, based on the storyline, which we want to talk about, I wish I was in Boston. I have been through that area where The Walk is centrally, focused and set. I know the movie actually, the way movies are filmed was done in New Orleans, but it looks just like South Boston.
Yes.
Have you been to South Boston yourself?
I have not been to South Boston. You know, it's funny. I'm too young to remember the events of the that take place in The Walk, but and I love Boston. I spent a lot of time in Boston when I was a singer-songwriter in the early 2000s playing in Boston. I used to play Club Passim in Cambridge, and I used to play a lot at different bars in Boston as a singer-songwriter. But I've never been to South Boston, and I always had the impression, I think through osmosis things trickle down, and South Boston always felt like a place to me that, well, not sure if I want to go, like if it's going to be like my kind of place. Obviously, things have changed since then, but it's a very, my experience with Boston, which has been fantastic, has been basically as a musician, which, you know, has been welcoming and wonderful, but, and it's been, gosh, it's been like 18 years since I've been there, but it's a great town.
It is, and Passim is a great spot. That's a legendary spot, and yet this story needs to be told. It's not so many years ago, obviously, that this occurred, and right. Even though Boston has gone through its various shifts and turns, like every big city, the story is so important that it needs to be told, right? I mean,
that's absolutely true. And you know, the great thing about the walk is that it's a story about people. It's a small story. You know, the thing about Southie or Roxbury, they're neighborhoods, and in those neighborhoods are people, and it's can be quite provincial, for good and for bad. And so that's really what the story is. You know, that's where it's not about, you know, obviously big sweeping things happened and were going on, but this is about people, and sort of that's how those big sweeping things happen, through the sort of small provincial places that we go, and one person makes a change.
How do you bring it to around what we're dealing with today in the world as well? Because obviously there's elements of history that always feed the present.
It is so incredibly relevant to what's happening today. You know, I think the first thing, we had the movie premiere on last Thursday, and something someone brought up, which is who was a guy in the audience during the Q&A, basically said, you know, I've had trouble as a teacher because they won't allow me to teach certain things. And I think just the existence of the walk, like in terms of what we talk about today, is important because there are forces that are interested in stopping teaching history like this and painting a picture, you know, painting a picture of everything as always been free and hunky-dory and all those things. And really the truth is that if you teach this stuff, we get freer. We become more free by teaching about the problems we've had. But so I think that is incredibly relevant today. It's important to teach history so we don't repeat it. And history informs us about what we're going to do next. And so, you know, it's an incredibly relevant story for right now.
So how do you, when you're approached on a project such as The Walk, so how does your process work as a composer to do your work that you do so beautifully?
Right. You know, every project's is going to be different, right? And so, like, sometimes you just start writing from beginning to end, and sometimes, and the way I always prefer to do things is to sit with it for a minute and think about what the approach is going to be. I'll watch it 3 or 4 times, really get to know it, and just start digging into, like, you know, start formulating ideas, but then step back from them for a minute and take a walk. Seriously, I do that a lot, where I'll start messing with something and formulating ideas and putting things together, sketches, if you will, and then I need to, you get a certain kind of fatigue, right? You get ear fatigue, you get fatigue from just working in general. So I step out, I take a little walk in my neighborhood, go walk and get some sushi or whatever, and you know, and come back and then keep working. And I always prefer to work that way. Even if I'm in a rush, I'll take those little moments and have that thinking time, that walk time, that you know, I'll go and I've been doing virtual reality boxing lately as exercise. So I'll go do that for a minute, or, you know, something. And actually, when I come back, it's so incredibly fresh that it really creates a momentum. Funny how taking a break can create a momentum in that way.
I'm so glad that you brought up how you use taking a walk you know, creatively, because that is at the core of this podcast. But in addition, it's certainly about in a busy world, using mindfulness in the moment, and certainly appreciating that moment, whether you're in your backyard or New York City or Philadelphia, where you've spent some time, or I dare say, maybe even Las Vegas as well, right?
Yeah, walking in Vegas is a little bit different, but because it's so hot, but yes, I definitely. I mean, it's I think wherever you are and whatever you're doing, I think it's important to step away from, especially if you're doing concentrated work, which music always is. It's about minutia. It's about detail. And, you know, it's to step away and just look at the bigger world around you, take it in, and then go back. It just, it helps and informs everything you do. It really does. And cities are great to take a walk in. I mean, gosh, New York. New York is constant inspiration for good and for bad, wherever you're going to turn. Philly the same way. I mean, I was raised in Philly, and it's you know, so much of it is just you're walking in history, or you're walking in, you know, gentrification of and people trying to change not the history, but to change the city to make it more modern. And, you know, that's the Philly I grew up in is different from the Philly that exists now. But and Vegas is just like, it's just this sprawl of decadence that is just enjoyable to see, even if you're not participating in it. I actually, some of the best walking and sightseeing you can do is just walking through a casino or walking outside Vegas at night and seeing how people process the town.
But you spent some formative years in Vegas, didn't you?
Yeah, well, formative might be strong, but I was part of my story is that I was a blackjack card counter. I was a member of a card counting team, and it was a team. It was a lot of people. They had formed this team. It was lawyers and Wall Street people and so on and so forth, but who were all gamblers, poker players, professional poker players. And it was much like people see in the movies, like that 21 movie, or much like people have read about with the MIT team. As a matter of fact, we had one or two people that had been around that team, or I think one person that had actually been on it. It was a random job that I got from a college friend. I was at a wedding, and we saw each other, and we were like, "Oh, what are you doing?" And I was working. I hadn't moved to LA yet. I was trying to figure that out, and because I knew I wanted to be a composer, and I was working in a law firm trying to earn some extra money to move. And he said, "Well, I got a job for you if you want to do this, and you know, we'd train you." And so I ended up doing that for a few years before I moved to LA, and a little bit after. And it was definitely an adventure. Well, he ended up writing a book about it, actually, called Repeat Until Rich, my friend. It was a real adventure. It was definitely, I wouldn't change a thing. I have to say, for gambling fans, when I talk to people about it, the disappointment I give them is how boring it was, actually, because you are sitting, and you don't think of Vegas as boring, but sitting in a high limit room in the MGM for 8 hours straight at a table is just, it's just a little mind numbing. And, you know, there is even music I can't hear anymore because all the music in the casinos is on a loop. So there's a song by Avril Lavigne, and I have nothing against Avril Lavigne. She's great. Like, but there's a song by her that I cannot listen to this day because every like 2 or 3 hours I'd hear it and I'd be like, it would be a measuring stick for how long I'd been sitting on my butt at the table. So to this day, I hear that song and I feel like, do I have to go to the bathroom? Like, I start to think, like, you know, like, am I hungry? Like, because it feels like when I hear that song, the time is passing and I'm just sitting there.
Oh, that is so hysterical. Yeah. So are you working on anything new these days?
Yeah, so I do a show, a TV show called Cold Justice, which is produced by Dick Wolf of, you know, Law and Order fame. And, you know, Dick Wolf done in his, you know, 40 years as a TV producer? But, like, I'm lucky enough to be a part of a small part of the Dick Wolf family. And Cold Justice is a great show. It's an unscripted show where these former law enforcement people go around and solve cold case murders. And we actually have solved quite a few and gotten some confessions and gotten some arrests and convictions. It's actually, I'm really proud to be a part of that project, and I write the music for that project, and we're about to do our 100th episode, actually.
Oh,
wow. That'll air in, I'm working on the show right now, the score right now. It'll air in August and September and October, I think.
Wow. Congratulations on all your great credits, Netflix, HBO, TNT, Bravo, Showtime, Nickelodeon. Did I leave anything out?
I don't know.
Pretty good roster.
You know, when I hear that sometimes, and you say that, I have to think for a second. Wait, you know, I feel very lucky to be able to make a living in this business. It's really something I think about a lot.
Well, you have an amazing journey. Congratulations on it. Congratulations on your work with The Walk, starring Terrence Howard and Justin Chatwin, the story of racial divide, Boston, the mid-70s, Robert Tuteras. I hope we can take a walk maybe in person at some point. But
hey, whenever I'm in New York, I'd love to do it. I've been trying to get back there, and I just haven't had a chance. Whenever I'm there, I'll let you know.
Come to New York, or you come to Boston, or we do it. We'll do the in person. But thanks for taking part in the Taking a Walk podcast series, and check out The Walk. It's playing in theaters, but then of course it'll be available on streaming services, of course, after that, right, Robert?
That's right, and I think you can even get it on demand right now. But it's in theater. If you can go to a theater, it's a great experience, and so it was wonderful to see it in a theater. And to, you know, I love the theater. So
yeah, support the theaters. That's a really important point. It's been tough on the theaters for
sure has
these last few years. So Robert, it's an honor to talk with you and meet you, and thanks for taking a walk.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.